we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I'm the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. I am the host of the Refresh radio program. I spend Monday through Friday with you here at this time, whether it's 8:30 of a morning, 10:30 of a morning, or 5 o'clock of an evening. We want to thank you for making us part of your day. And I just want to say thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, J-I-T-S Concrete, 536-5804, area code 321. Number again is 321-536-5804. You don't want to be out there trying to learn how to pour concrete or do block work or any of that sort of stuff this time of year. You want to be calling the folks there. They know all of the different grades of concrete. They do excellent work with sidewalks, pads, whatever you might need in the area of concrete or block work. Give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell Greg that you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast, and we will be very thankful that you shared that, and you will be glad that you called the fine folks at Jits Concrete. So want to invite you out to be with us in worship this week. We have our youth group on Sunday night. I will be preaching on Sunday morning. I'll also be preaching on Sunday night, and I will be coming to you next week as well. But I will be at our National General Council out in Anaheim, California, and really looking forward. I haven't been out to California since I was 6 months old, and that was not yesterday. So I'm sure a lot has changed, and I'm sure that the inside of that convention center will look an awful lot like the inside of the other convention centers that we have met at. But if you'd be praying for our general council, there are several elections that are taking place, and we want the mind of God and several resolutions to be debated and things like that. And so pray for us that we would be of one mind and one accord, and that the will of the Lord would be done. Some of those resolutions are rather substantive, so we appreciate your prayers in that matter. So be flying out Monday, flying back on Saturday, preaching again the following Sunday. So got lots in store over the next couple of weeks. Going to be a really busy season for us. And then we get back to classes, our Wednesday night, our typical Wednesday night classes, this coming Wednesday night. That would be August the 9th. We will resume our classes. I will have a teacher filling in for me with the boys, and then we're going to be having a different teacher for the adults on Wednesday night. So that's what's coming up at Merritt Assembly. God, love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I want to take you this morning. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5. Fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so we're not going to spend this much time on all of the other fruits. We will spend some, but not as much as we have on joy here. I believe joy is an underappreciated commodity in the body of Christ. And so we are going to look at a couple of passages over the next couple of broadcasts that on the surface, the natural fruit that you would manifest would be anything but rejoicing. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. And if you know anything about Acts chapter 8, you will know that the beginning of that chapter is the season where persecution breaks out amongst the church. So let's begin reading in Acts chapter 7. Stephen has just been stoned for preaching the gospel at the end of chapter 7. In chapter 8, it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. That's the same Saul who was later to become the Apostle Paul. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. And you could go on and read from verse 9 on, and you would find about the revival and the Samaritan Pentecost that they experienced in that city. And so let's begin looking now at verses 1 through 8. It says, at that time there was great persecution at the church. Now the type of persecution that we're describing there is not the fact that somebody made fun of you because you were Christian or called you a Jesus freak like somebody did right after I bought him his meal when I was a youth pastor in Chicago. It's not the type of persecution that we face right now, although the level of persecution in America is increasing now, where you can be fined for being a Christian if you don't toe the line, the political correctness line in your city. That is persecution, where you can lose your livelihood. There have been people who have actually lost their employment as well as their business because they took a stand for Christianity. This is a time of great persecution where preachers of the gospel were being stoned to death, as in Stephen's case in chapter 7. It is the type of persecution where they are being hunted down. That's what Paul was doing. And this was the church that was at Jerusalem. So they're trying to deal with this Christianity outbreak that has begun since the day of Pentecost. And it said that Saul, in verse number 3, was making havoc of the church. Now, when I think of things like the term havoc, I think of chaotic, that there's complete and total unrest, there's no peace, everybody is running around and they're filled with anxiety, they don't really know what is going on. And so there is great havoc. Saul was personally responsible for that. Remember, he had received later on in chapter 9, it says in verse number 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that was Christianity, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he was very zealous in persecuting the church. Now it says he entered every house and drug off men and women and committed them to prison. So now we have people who are being stoned. We have people who are being arrested. We're having homes invaded. And we are talking about people who are literally being incarcerated for nothing more than being Christians. And so I ask you, does that sound like the type of persecution that we face today? You know, I think that it is time that we allowed our faith in God to mature, and that we come to the place where we realize that God has done too much for us and brought us too far for us to ever turn back at this point in time and just look for an easy way out. I've talked to some people through the years, and they would tell me things like this. They would say, you know, I don't know if great persecution ever broke out in our society, whether or not I would be able to survive. And you know, in all honesty, all of us don't like pain. We don't like suffering. I remember from school with my Christian witness, I remember my failures more than I remember my successes. I remember trying to weasel out and look for a semantical way to escape, what was referred to me as being baptized in the boys' room. I wasn't interested in being baptized in the boys' room. And so we live in this day and time now where people cannot even have civil dialogue. We're talking about if you don't toe the line of political correctness, you are excoriated, you are marginalized, you are ridiculed, you are made fun of, and literally persecuted to the point where, you know, people don't even want you to exist anymore. That's where we're coming in this society. And I think we as Christians, we need to toughen up just a little bit, if that's okay. We need to be a little bit more confident in the grace of God. When people would tell me that they didn't know if they could survive should persecution break out, I quite simply told them, your flesh would not be able to survive. The only way that you can survive when persecution breaks out is to have the grace of God giving you patient endurance, like it describes in Revelation when persecution is taking place there. And it says that this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. I have every confidence in the grace of God that He can equip us no matter what our culture, no matter what atmosphere breaks out. I believe that God can equip you with the grace so that your testimony will come shining forth like pure gold, even during that darkest hour. I don't believe that when Stephen started preaching in chapter 7, he was like, you know what, they could kill me for this. But Stephen, at the very end of chapter 7, says, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. And let me move up to verse number 57, because this tells how drastic steps the crowd took to no longer hear what Stephen was saying. Then they cried out with a loud voice, that would be so they could drown out his. They stopped their ears so that they wouldn't even catch the faintest word that he might say. They ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. Okay, so that's a good indication of how to survive persecution. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So that's the best way to get through persecution, is be calling out to Jesus, committing yourself, your spirit unto him, and praying for your persecutors. You say, this doesn't sound like joy at all. Well, it is not the natural type of atmosphere where you would expect the end result to be joy. So it says, verse number 4 of Acts chapter 8, therefore those who were scattered, in other words, the disciples, they left Jerusalem. There was a dispersion throughout the region, and they went everywhere preaching the word. You see, history will demonstrate that whenever persecution breaks out, the gospel goes forth and it touches people in a way where our complacency would not. I'm not saying that persecution comes from God. I'm saying that God turns the devil's attacks into blessings. And so while they were out preaching the word, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So remember, we are preaching Jesus. We are preaching the kingdom of God. We are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when we're talking about evangelism, we are talking about sharing good news. That is what we are called to do. And it said in the... Now, I want to point out something. I kind of take note of the phrase one accord. You know, they were all in one mind and one accord. On the day of Pentecost, it says in chapter 7 that they ran at Stephen and attacked him in one accord. But in Samaria, this place that you've got to remember, there was a revival that had taken place at a Samaritan village. Another Samaritan village refused to allow Jesus and his disciples to come in because they knew that he was going to Jerusalem, and Jesus' disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven on them and see them destroyed. Now they are taking the gospel, the good news, to these people who had a very, very strained relationship with the Jewish people because the Jewish people did not put them on the same level. These were people who were imported into the area by the king of Assyria and back in the Old Testament. And then they had a priest that came and taught the people who were imported to that area how to worship God, because they were being destroyed by the land. They said, hey, you need to send us a priest because we don't know how to worship the God of this land. And so those people stayed, and Jewish people tended to look down upon them. By the way, Samaritans still exist to this day, though their numbers are seriously dwindling. Samaritans still exist. And there were people who looked down at them because they weren't as pure as what they were. Can I tell you this? None of us are 100% pure. All of us have faults. All of us have errors. All of us have things that God needs to change in our life. And now, instead of wanting to call down fire from heaven on them, the disciples are taking the gospel. Philip is preaching Jesus to them. And listen to what it says. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They all had the same longing to hear the word of God. You know, when I see the word heeded, I think back to the Imperials album, Heed the Call, one of the first Christian albums that I ever owned. And it said, with one accord, they were heeding, they were listening, they were paying attention. They were soaking in the word of God. They didn't want to miss any of it. They were deliberate in their listening. And it says that as they were listening to the things that were spoken by Philip, they were hearing and they were seeing the miracles which he did. Now, I want to remind you that the Bible says that signs and wonders shall accompany those that believe. Mark chapter 16. Let me just turn over there just a second so that I can read it for you, and where it says, these signs shall accompany these who believe. Okay, Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow, King James says, accompany. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will set up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, those are the words of Jesus. And so I fully expect that those signs are going to accompany the gospel. Now, like it says here in the New King James, There they use the word follow. That means that you and I are supposed to go, and God is going to be faithful to have the signs and wonders follow us as we are going out in obedience, and that there were going to be signs and wonders. So what sort of things were taking place? There were miracles taking place. There were unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice. This is Acts chapter 8, verse number 7. Unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Now, those are some serious signs and wonders. And so we have four cardinal doctrines in the Assemblies of God. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Healer. We believe in Jesus Christ, the coming King. And we believe in Jesus Christ, the Baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Those are our four core doctrines. And I will continue to believe that God is capable of doing more than the devil is capable of. I believe 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I believe that God is the omnipotent God. That means that he is the almighty God. He is the all-powerful God, that he can do absolutely anything. I believe that he is the omniscient God, that he knows everything. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where you've come from. He knows where he wants to take you. He knows where your road will end up if you do not allow him to take you. He knows the circumstances that you face, the number of hairs on your head. He knows what you have need before you even ask. I believe that God is so omniscient that he knows what the devil is going to attack, or who the devil is going to attack, and how he's going to attack before the attack ever comes, and therefore he can prepare you and I. I believe that he is the omniscient God. So I also believe that in that omniscience is the ability to know how, not just when there is a problem, but he knows the solution, the timing of that solution, and the process of that solution. So that's what was going on. All of a sudden, the church, rather than huddling up in Jerusalem trying to survive until they came and arrested them and hauled them off, said, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to take the gospel wherever we go. And so Philip ends up in Samaria, and all of a sudden, remarkable things begin to take place, and a new spiritual dynamic takes place in the city. If you go on and read in verse 9, all the way through verse number 25, you are going to find that there was a sorcerer named Simon. This is not Simon Peter. This is a sorcerer named Simon who had been practicing his sorcery and had been captivating the people with his tricks and pseudo miracles during his life. But when Philip came and preached the gospel, even Simon became a believer. It says that Simon believed and that he became a believer, and he was baptized. He was right there with everybody else. He was amazed at what was going on. And then later on in chapter 8 here, it says in verse number 15 about Peter and John, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon Peter saw that, he was completely and totally captivated, and he said, here, I will give you money if you will show me how to do that. Because he was addicted to the attention that he had as that celebrity sorcerer. And the way that you did that is you ended up paying somebody as a sorcerer or a magician. You paid somebody so that they would teach you how to do their tricks. And so a trick that nobody else had ever seen before was worth a great amount of money, and you didn't want to necessarily tell anybody else how to do that because you wanted that attention for yourself. And Simon thought that this was along the lines of a sorcerer, and Peter says, you know what, you and your money are going to perish. He basically told him that his eternal destination was in heaven at that point in time. So that's what's coming up. But I bypassed verse number 8 because in the midst of the gospel, in the midst of the demonstration, in the midst of massive numbers of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ and being baptized and then being baptized with the Holy Spirit, verse number 8 has this. Remember, this is right on the heels of such great persecution and havoc being wreaked upon the church that people are scattering and taking the gospel. It says that there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. You see, that's fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit that causes joy to take place even though you've just come through one of the most painful ordeals that you could have ever imagined. They thought that when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, that, you know what, it could have been over, except for Peter had been told, hey, you know, your last days are not going to be pleasant ones. And now they have taken the gospel to a people that they previously despised. And they saw that city, that entire city, filled with great joy. Wouldn't it be awesome if we, the saints of God, would not be quite so comfortable in our community because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, while there are thousands and thousands around us who have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ? If we went forth, even to people that maybe we aren't the best of friends with, and we began to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, if we started praying for signs and wonders to take place, if we started believing that God could do outside the four walls of the church what we proclaim that he can do inside the four walls of the church, maybe God could bring great joy to Brevard County. I know this. I want to see Brevard to be a county that is filled with great joy. But it is going to take a number of people who say, you know what, we're going to take the good news to the city, and we're going to believe for signs and wonders, and we're going to see people put their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's have a great day of joy. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.